Good morning. This is Pastor Todd. Thank you for tuning in to the Gathering Place podcast. This week, a guest speaker is going to bring a special message for the church. Here is this week's special message.
Of the knowledge of Him everywhere. Was it just one or was there two on this one? Two? For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. So the first thing I want to say is that kind of our first job, the first function is to be that sense of God for the people around us. To be that aroma, to kind of be that thing that attracts them towards the Lord. So it's almost like, you know, as we're worshiping God and honoring Him and blessing Him, you know, in each day, it's like part of the focus of our quiet times or our focus on Him, our scripture reading, is to be in that place where we are feeling comfortable with God and ourselves, kind of processing through whatever happens, so that we can then be present to other people to really entice them into God's presence. Okay? And so it's like, you know, it's like when you meet somebody that really seems like they're present to themselves, they're also genuine with you, you know, to whatever degree is appropriate, right? I mean, you know, really good friends, you talk about really deep things. Folks you just met, you may talk about deep things, but just for a short period, or just people you're just starting to get to know, you talk about things that are more on the surface, things that are happening, and then maybe you move to the deeper things, right? So all these appropriate things, but in that place, it's like our joy in the Lord and our knowledge of His presence, even in the difficult things, it's like that should be an enticement for them to say, hey, there's something beyond the merely natural here in this person, and God is at work in this thing, and so this is a person I want to get to know. And so that kind of should be our engagement with people, our engagement with others, our thinking through things with them, is kind of talking through and letting God kind of impact, so that since we know we're comfortable with our eternal stature with Him, we know that we are loved by Him, we are honored by Him, we are blessed by Him, and that we have worth. And so in the end, everything works out well for us as believers. We can then take that confidence and kind of share that with other people as an invitation to those that don't know Him yet, but also as, you know, just as when we get together in community, we bring the love and the care of God, kind of that oil of gladness, that oil of joy. And so this is a really good encouragement for us to really be present with God each day, to really think things through with Him, to read the Scriptures, to focus on Him. And kind of a rule of thumb is, as long as it takes you before you really kind of get focused in on God and really feeling good in a healthy way. Yeah, there's going to be challenges. There always are, right? But that challenge is kind of like almost like a knot in my muscle, you know, as opposed to being the whole muscle, right? It's almost like any challenges we're dealing with or issues, it's like it's just a part of it, and over time it will be worked out by the Lord. But overall, my perspective is God is here, I'm present with Him, and then this is good. I know, and because I would say an information junkie. I mean, I need information coming into me all the time, right? I'm always processing things. So I'm always looking at the internet, looking at websites, doing this, doing that. It's like that often gets to the place where it just is overwhelming with the negative news that's out there, you know, the things that occur, the things that go on. It can become very overwhelming. And so the challenge for me is to kind of say, okay, I'm going to listen to these things and understand them, but I'm going to spend so much time with God that now is just a piece of my life. Even those challenges, even all the media messages that come in, it's just a piece of my life. Then that God is a bigger piece, and my Christian community is a bigger piece, so that I can then put that big information and all the things out in the world in its place inside of God. So hopefully that makes sense. And so we're going to talk as we go forward about in the sermon here, as we kind of walk through this process, and and about kind of the Black Lives Matter things that are going on now. You know, this the idea of the Black Lives Matter and basically what's happened, and there have been some riots in some cities and police precincts taken over and actually abandoned to the rioters in some cases. So we're going to kind of talk about this as we walk forward, just that whole idea of the society and where it's at. So keep that framework in your mind, and we're going to try to come back on that a little bit as we come to the end of the sermon. So the first thing that we're really focusing on as believers is being in that place with God so that He's genuine in us, and that we're able to be an aroma to the people around us. We're able to be a pleasing aroma to God in worship and care, and also the folks around us. And again, some folks may not want that, right? They're in that place where they don't want to talk about God, and we don't want to force them unless the Lord, you know, in that 2 times out of 100 really says, go after it, right? Because occasionally God says you need to be very aggressive even if that person doesn't want it. Right? There's that occasional place, because sometimes people only hear things that are very hard, and that, you know, occasionally people just need to hear it no matter what they say about it, right? But generally speaking, we want to say it to them in a way that they would hear or understand, or that they know we're valuing them in that process of speaking about God. And so we want to be very appropriate and loving and caring as we're talking with them and sharing. And so that's always a fun engagement with God, like praying, like how do I share you with this person? What is it that I can say to them? Is there, you know, can you give me a dream about them that I could just say, hey, I saw this dream about you and it just was really interesting, and this and this and this was happening in the dream, and boy, it felt like maybe the Lord was talking to you about this or that or the other. See, it's kind of like coming in. Maybe that person is kind of lives in that mystical world, you know, kind of that spiritual world, and maybe that will signal something to them, right? Maybe it's discussing current events with them and just kind of giving a framework about things, you know, kind of as we're going to talk about today with Black Lives Matter. It can be very all sorts of different ways. So, you know, whatever incredible ways that you find to share about Christ with others, that's a great thing to do, because, you know, each of us are genuine and each of us are our own person. And so each of us bring incredible gifts. And so everything we can share, you know, from our heart, from the Lord, has got good, powerful things. And again, we're not gauged on how they react to us, right? No, we're simply gauged on our love and our care and our doing everything we can is to spread God's heart to them. So even if they're not sure they like it right now, maybe in 2 weeks they're going to love it. Maybe in 30 years they're going to come to somebody else and they're going to go, I remember this conversation with this person and I didn't agree with it at the time, but boy, God was in that conversation now. I look back and 30 years later I'm seeing things line up that only make sense from God being involved in the process. And so then they go back to that conversation in their mind and they go, I'm going to reinterpret my life coming forward now from that conversation, because that conversation about God was more true and more accurate and more loving than anything I've understood, and I only get it now, 30 years later, right? This is how God works. It's almost like sometimes we pop into people's lives and give them something that they will only understand 30 years later, right? But that is God's seed. And that conversation then becomes an eternal thing that carries into life and comes all the way up through life and then begins to flower when they come to God or they get serious about God at this point in time. You know, it's like we all live, I mean, you guys know, we all live in this place where when we're young, we think we know everything, right? We think we know everything. We think we've got it all together. And then we start hitting the challenges and the things we can't control and the hurts and the betrayals and the things that damage us. Then we start realizing there's more to life than just what I think is the right thing to do or what makes me happy or or the plan that I have for my life, my career, or whatever. We start realizing as we get older and start facing the challenges, we start realizing, you know what? There's got to be more than this. And that's where God steps in. The Holy Spirit steps in. People start reevaluating their life. And that may be because of a conversation you had with them 30 years ago. And that now comes back to them, and they now reinterpret everything. And so no conversation about God is ever wasted, right? Nothing that we do to try to honor Him and bless Him is ever wasted, even if it seems like it is, even if it seems like we get flack for it. Well, that's just part of being His servant, you know, and we're going to be persecuted like Him. Since He was persecuted, we are too going to be persecuted. It's just a question of what it's going to look like. So it's almost like in that time with God, get yourself geared up to be persecuted. Get yourself geared up to say, it's going to happen. If everybody speaks well of me, then I'm not really doing my job. Now, that doesn't mean, you know, it doesn't mean 100% of the people get mad at me because I'm being a jerk about things. I don't want to go there. But if I'm really being honest about God, right, some people are not going to like it. But that's okay, because I'm still, you know, spreading out His grace and His truth so that people have the chance to understand it later on down the road. And so, the first thing we want to do is be an aroma. Twyla, what was that second thing? Second scripture that we had there, if you're able to get to that. So now we're going to Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. So everything, even hidden motives for people's comments or sayings or what they're doing, will one day come clear. So let's talk a little bit about Black Lives Matter here. So Black Lives Matter basically says we want to build up and encourage those that are minorities, especially black, you know, African Americans. We want to build them up to get them into an incredible place. You know, the original reason they were brought to this country and many others is slavery. And that was a horrendous crime, that was a horrendous thing that was done. And so now, you know, we basically need to build them up and integrate into society and do incredibly great things for them. And that's kind of a summary, you know, very quick summary of what goes on. And so, of course, the first thing is that, yes, we want to build up and honor people. We want to build up and honor, you know, African Americans, blacks, you know, folks that are, you know, black and white, you know, mixed races, minorities. You know, everyone should be built up in the Lord. We want to give opportunities and blessings and build up everybody. So there's no reason to have prejudice or things against a race or a person because of race or anything like that, right? In Christ, there is no Jew nor Gentile. You know, in Christ, we are all the same. We're all of incredibly great value. So there's no... There, you know, we are in support of that incredible bringing things together and bringing everyone to the maximum possible they can be, and we can be as a community. This is always an incredibly good thing. This is always an incredibly good thing. The thing that becomes interesting as we kind of look through this is, okay, what are the methods by which this good truth is being spread out in the world, right? What is the method? So now we come kind of to the discernment. So we are in agreement with the ultimate goal of this process, and yet in the world at this point, among some of the folks that are doing this, we see, you know, we see riots. Well, we see protests, and peaceful protests are fine, right? You know, when that it is an American right. It's you know, your right to speak your mind, right to speak your peace. So it's always a good thing to be able to speak our peace and to say what we need to say, right? Especially as it is encouraging people and wanting to have the common good. This is always a good thing, right? The interesting thing that comes in is that we see peaceful protests. We also see more than that in this situation than some other ones. We see people taking the streets with sometimes rioting, with looting, with different things that go on. So it becomes a really interesting thing now to say we support the overall goal of where this is going, and yet we want to also have discernment about the methods that are used to obtain that goal. Kind of, do you see the distinction? Hopefully you do here. So we're in support of raising everyone up, including Black Lives Matter. We're definitely in support of raising everybody up to a great place, right? The best place possible. And yet, you know, we really are wondering about some people in that process that perhaps are using means that are beyond what would be healthy, right? Beyond what would be healthy to obtain this good process. And so it's like we need to understand these things as we react to people in conversation. So the Black Lives Matter raising people up to the great place is awesome and incredible, right? And yet the methods also can be discerned, the methods of how we do that. And so this is kind of like the aroma of Christ. It's like, you know, it's like nothing in creation is hidden. God's word is sharper than a double-edged sword. It's like God discerns the good things about a situation, and he discerns the things that are not so good about a situation or a person in a certain area. Same with me, right? There's God. God discerns things. Sometimes he'll say, you're doing good in this area of something. Your goal is good, but maybe you need to change the way you're doing it, right? Or adjust it. Okay? Does that make sense? The same thing is true as we understand what goes on around us in the world. It's like we need to be able to see the things God is doing, the things he is working on, the things that he wants to build in a great way. And yet we also understand and look through and see what are the motivations for folks doing it. And especially if they go into violence over all, you know, over time and consistent violence against other people, it's like usually that is not God's way of bringing about his change. Okay, I'm saying usually, you know, very occasionally, you know, there's things that go on. But in the church, and basically as how we affect society, we typically don't want to raise the sword against people, right? That's kind of how that works. And so we want to focus on helping people learn and encourage them in a peaceful, thoughtful way where we work together to dialogue and to understand what God is up to build people into a greater place. Kind of that's what we want to focus on. And so we appreciate the Black Lives Matter for that aspect of it, for raising people into a good place. But when situations then go into violence or rioting or looting, then we start saying, you know what? We appreciate the value and where things are going, but we don't like moving into that area. Because that really goes against what God says, to treat each other appropriately, to treat each other well, right? So it's sort of like the goal is good, but then the execution and maybe some of the folks that are leading, perhaps, or the folks that are on that kind of violent wing, that's not healthy before the Lord. That's not a healthy thing to do, right? So we value the goal, but we also understand that we have to judge and discern before the Lord, you know, the folks that are maybe not doing the right things and how they're executing that sort of thing. Now, we don't want to stick them in a box and leave them there, right? I mean, if God reveals his heart to them and they change, or they start changing and getting into a better, that we love that. That's great. Let's go there, right? We affirm that, right? So we're not writing them off. We never write people off, you know, in terms of God may save them, but we're going to encourage and want good things to happen and go forward with that. So this is an important thing to think about. So understand that, because the media usually doesn't want to give you, you know, the pros and the cons of a situation, right? When you're hearing the media talking, usually they're trying to convince you of one side and usually not share the other side with you. So we kind of need to be wise to understand both sides, or the multiple sides, from the scriptures, from God's mind, and from our conversations together as believers, right? And you often find that when you sit together with people that are serious about Jesus, they have very similar reactions to a lot of the things that go on. And this is one reason why we meet together as well, so we're able to share together, we're able to talk together, and kind of understand what God's heart is to us as a group by sharing together our perspectives and our thoughts. And so there becomes a wisdom in the counselors, right, as the Old Testament talks about. So this is an incredibly wise thing to do. So Twyla, you want to pop that next scripture up we have there? So Colossians 3:12, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. So the capper, and I've already kind of talked about it a little bit, is, you know, the position, walking with God, that position is to always give God the possibility of working in everyone's life that's here. Always be forgiving. Always try to be extending grace, extending true wisdom, extending your heart to the point where even if that person is hostile to you or antagonistic or to God, if they are starting to change or they want to talk about change or they want to have even a serious conversation, to allow them back in to that degree where you can have a conversation with them, right? And you can extend your heart and let them have a chance to bridge towards God. You know, it's like we run on love. We operate on love. You've heard me say that before. That's our fuel. It's like our cars. They don't go unless you put the gas in, right? Or plug them in with the EV stuff. The same with us. We need love. And so our job is to be in God's love so much that we're able to, even if other people are not lovely, we're able to give something, to give a connection to them, to walk out on that bridge that leads towards God, to meet them farther on the other side of the bridge, so that we can invite them on the bridge towards faith in God. Right? We can invite them. We can bring them. Now, I don't agree with maybe all the things they're doing, because that may be against God, but my heart is there with them so that I can encourage them and invite them and be present with them to invite them on the bridge towards faith and hope and love. And so I can't control the outcome, but I can certainly control my contribution to the relationship. I can control my contribution to the discussion. I can control what I'm saying to them. I can control trying to be present with the Lord to give them, you know, that love and that care and that grace that invites them into that place with the Lord. And so that's an incredible thing. And so this is, you know, kind of like the denouement, or the kind of the crescendo to the good ending, right? Is that we have this opportunity here to learn to say, Lord, love me and care for me in such a way that I can be there for other people to invite them into the presence of God, right? Lord, love me and care for me and bring me in such places that even though I do have the challenges every day, because we all do, right? We all have those. Lord, help me go back to you to get such a solid, vibrant, awesome, dynamic connection with you that I can be there for other people to share with them and let them walk into your presence with me. Let them just sense and smell you when I'm around so that they're able then to understand that, maybe not today, but maybe 25 years down the road. Let them smell you in such a way that they're going to be able to come to you. And this has an incredible, incredible thing, incredible effect on our society when we're able to do this, because, you know, most of us touch people, just individuals. A lot of us don't talk before groups or what have you. We're simply having conversation with individuals or families or smaller groups. And so these are the things that we can do that really just to be present with God. And this can be a real adventure too, because it's like sometimes, you know, when we're doing this, God pops up with something we never would have expected, right, to say to them. Right, sometimes something comes to our mind when we're praying that's like totally different. And so it's like we usually are not bored with God for very long periods. If we're really trying to love God and honor God and love him and touch other people, we're usually looking for those adventure opportunities, and he brings those adventure opportunities partially by us stepping out beyond what we're normally comfortable with in order to speak about God. So that then becomes an adventure, and life usually is not boring, because it's sort of like we're not living it just for ourselves. We're living it to try to love other people or to connect with them in good ways. We're living it to really be in God's presence and to let his presence really, really shine. And so this is this is kind of what's on my heart today. And so, you know, we've talked about, you know, kind of the steps of you know, being an aroma, you know, it's then discernment in the middle of it. And then, you know, in the end, you know, God is going to bring incredible, incredible stuff to bear by our forgiveness. The one thing that I think that we're going to kind of finish with is this. And, you know, it's kind of a comment about, comment to those that perhaps are struggling, feeling guilty about sin, feeling guilty about something they're involved in now that's very difficult and they want to stop it. You know, it could be pornography, could be anger, could be rage, could be all sorts of things, right? Greed. And we all face these things, right? So really figuring out how to not operate under shame in those areas is huge. And part of that process is naming it, starting with ourselves and some trusted people in the Lord. Name the thing where we feel like we are sinning, right? To get it out in the open, right? Because when we keep things secret and don't talk about it, then it festers inside of us, right? And then we start covering it up in a bad way, either just covering up and not being present with other people in the area, or we start taking actions to like try to convince people that that's not us, right? We're trying to like say, tell, you know, not let other people see who we really are. So we're really gonna shove that part way in the back and not talk about it at all. But that doesn't work over time. It doesn't work. You know, it's better just to take the pain up front and just to talk with friends and say, hey, I think this is an issue for me. And I just want to name it, right? And I want to name it. I want to say it. And I want to process it through. And it's like, and I want to say to the Lord, Lord, forgive me for this. And Lord, help me figure out why it is I'm doing this thing. What is the thing that I'm getting from doing this sin, right? What's the emotional benefit? Am I not feeling loved? Am I feeling disrespected, right? Do I feel like I'm not going to have provision? What is it that what not inside of me is really being is not being satisfied so that I'm doing this thing? And that then starts to give us a chance to say, Lord, please love me in that place. If I need provision, please promise me you will give me your provision so that I don't have to live, you know, misshapen. I don't have to live, you know, with one twisted leg because I'm afraid of that area. No, Lord, focus on that leg to help it become strong, to help me name it, to bring it out into the open so I'm then able to get your healing and I can stand on my two legs instead of just one and a half, right? And so for a person that's caught in these things, it's like find some trusted people and name it and then ask God to say, okay, why? What is it in me that needs to do this thing that I shouldn't be doing? And then, Lord, love me in that place so I don't have to do that anymore. Love me in that deep place so that I don't have to go there anymore. Okay? And there will be freedom. There will be freedom. Now, sometimes it takes some time. Sometimes God does a miracle right now. Can be either or, right? But there will come freedom in that. And I think, and so along with that, the last thing that we'll say too is that don't, it's like God understands when we're under pressure. God understands when things are a challenge. He gets it. And so if we make mistakes and do things we shouldn't do, but yet we're doing everything we can to honor him, it's okay. He understands that. It's like our enthusiasm and our desire to honor him is so much greater than him sitting there on the clipboard going, whoop, doop, 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 this, right? His love and his care for our enthusiasm and our desire to do the right thing and to be moving forward to him is so much greater than his critiquing us, right? So that means if I'm a critical person, and I can be that way because I analyze everything, right? I can be overly critical. I need to back up and say to myself, nope, it's okay. Don't kill yourself over this, because your love and your enthusiasm is to honor God. So over time, it's like that's not going to be as big an issue. Because God's love and His grace is pulling us on and bringing us into better places. And so if you really love God and are working and wanting and loving Him, and yet there are things that are pulling you back, it's like don't get on yourself too much. Just kind of get with a friend, talk about it, start processing. What is it, Lord, that I need, that I feel like I'm not getting, so that I do this thing? And then, Lord, love me in that place. Fill me in that place so that I can then sprout in a much more healthy manner, so that I can sprout, right? Because that's where we're at. You know, it's like we are a redemptive community. Talking about the things we don't do wrong is only preparation for the good things that come. And we don't want to stay there. It's like we want to be serious about them, but we don't want to stay there and focus and get hyper-vigilant and get overly stressed about that place. We just want to say, you know what? God wants life for each of us. He wants life. He wants life for every one of us. And that's what we're after together. We are after life. And so by His grace and by His scriptures and by what He brings into our lives, you know, we are able to go there, and we're able to see His life unfolding, His grace unfolding, His power unfolding, His discernment unfolding, and we're able to have the, you know, everything we need to be vibrant and dynamic in the situations we're facing, you know, as well as in our communities and the things that go on around us. So that is kind of like a quick thing, and I feel like I've got so much to say that I'm all over. I feel like I didn't give you guys any emotional breaks. I just like plowed through that whole thing. So if that was hard, I'm sorry about that. But I just get going on these things, and it kind of like builds up in my spirit, and I can't. It's hard for me to slow down. That's just me. So forgive me if that's hard for you, and we pray the Lord's grace on all of us. So that's good. So let's pray together, and then Twyla, would you be able to join me in a ministry team up here after? Okay, good. We'll do a ministry team up here in the room. We've not been doing those officially just because of the COVID, but I think today Mike mentioned it, and even before he said it, I was like ready to do it because I felt like the Lord wanted it. So if you'd join me, Twyla, that would be great. We'll do a ministry team up here for prayer for anybody that would like prayer. So let me address the Father for us together. Father, we thank You for Your incredible presence with us. We thank You that You are so dynamic and good. Thank You that You extrude all things good. Everything that comes from You is good. It's like even the things that put us under pressure, can Your goodness can be brought through us. Lord, even under the pressures of persecution or difficulty, Your goodness can be extruded through us and brought into great places. So we thank You and bless You for that. Lord, we thank You that Your wisdom is so much richer and more powerful than we understand today, and that even tomorrow You will be teaching us new things about Yourself, new facets of the diamond of Your presence among us, Father, is going to be coming tomorrow. And the day after that, and the day after that, because You are infinite. And we thank You that You have brought us to this place, that we are in our culture even now in this incredibly consequential time when there's so much technology and the whole 666 technology seems to be coming into place, the revelation stuff, Lord. Thank You for putting us in this place in history at this very consequential time in Your kingdom. And we pray that You would drive Your kingdom into this world, Lord, that You would press Your kingdom into this world, that many people would come to Your heart and be saved, Lord. Even as Mike was talking about in the Grant Park thing coming up, many would be saved there, Father, but even many would be saved through having to address COVID and all the other uncertainties of life. We pray that many people would come to Your heart to be blessed and saved. And Father, we pray that You would begin to take power away from those that are in our society that are basically, not giving a full picture from your perspective of what truth is and how to act and live. We pray that you would begin to take power and their strength a little bit away to convince them of you and where to go and how to change. Father, we don't pray bad things on people just for that, but we pray that people hit difficulties so that they can turn to you and come into life, because that's what you say. You say we have to come to you to be saved. We can't save ourselves. Society doesn't save us. It's like we have to come to you to be saved. And so, Lord, we pray that you would begin taking power away from those that are influential and strong so that they understand that they can come to you and be saved. And we pray that many would. Father, we bless and honor you today. We thank you. We give you praise. Thank you that you are in charge of all these things, that everything continues on in your plan as ever, that there are no tsunamis in your that upset you in your kingdom. You've understood all these things from the beginning. And so we take comfort in your strength, in your love, in your mercy today. Bless us, Lord, today. Thank you for Fine and Dusty. Father, we just pray a special blessing on them today. Just anoint them with worship and with a sense of your presence, Holy Spirit, even now as they finish this service for us, even now and even the rest of this day. And Father, we pray blessings on Roman as well. In Christ's name, amen.
This is Pastor Todd again. Thank you for listening to the message today. I pray the Lord uses it to strengthen your walk with God. If you were blessed by this message and would like to support the ministry of The Gathering Place financially, I encourage you to use our online giving portal at tgpchicago.org. Once again, that is tgpchicago.org. Our portal uses PayPal's secure site, so none of your information is compromised. Once again, thank you for tuning in to the TGP podcast. God bless you, and have a great week.